Hi everybody, I'm Matthias Wisch. I mainly focus on reverse engineering. If you have a question not directly related to the current topic, you can ask me, and I will be very glad to have a chat around the JetCock. Yes, I cannot tell you like I would do in Paris, let's grab a beer, because I'm under 21 and I'm not allowed to drink something here. Then, we are going to talk about the Windows Hibernation file. We are going to discuss the advantages of the Hibernation file analysis. We are also going to talk about the Windows Hibernation file internals. And we also see two different parts. Defensive use of the Hibernation file and the offensive use of the Hibernation file. And then we'll see some demos. And then, what's Hibernation? Hibernation is also known as suspend to disk on Linux operating system. This feature is available in Windows OS since Windows 2000. We can also see this feature in non-Microsoft operating system like Mac OS X and all Linux distributions. When the Hibernation process is done, Windows creates a file named hiberfile.sys, and for people who see this file at the root of your hard drive, that's the Hibernation file. And this file is very special because it contains a full memory snapshot. And for people who never used the Hibernation feature, that's very simple. If you want to hibernate your computer, you just have to click on Start on Hibernate. There is also a command line option to activate Hibernation. Then, why Hibernation file? Because it's quick and easy. If you want to get a memory snapshot, it doesn't trigger some hardware chipset. Everything is done from the software part. You don't have to reboot to activate the Hibernation. And the Hibernation file contains a lot of very interesting information. And this information are very useful for forensic analysis. The memory snapshot is generated by Microsoft. Then we can trust in it. You don't have to use the standalone tool or third-party tools. That's very easy to get one. Hibernation file also contains has a significant advantage for investigators. The main advantage concerning the Hibernation file is that the system activity is totally frozen. Then there is no tool who can block the analysis. No, you can't have a tool who can impede you to proceed to the analysis because you analyze the Hibernation file on another machine, then there is nothing related to the targeted machine. on the after the analysis, there is no trace of your analysis, and the system is left perfectly functional after analysis. To analyze the evaluation file, I've created with Nicolas Ruff a framework called Sandman. Sandman aims to provide a framework to analyze the evaluation file. You can generate a readable dump, because the evaluation file is compressed. Then if you want to analyze it directly in something like an hexadecimal editor, you cannot, because every pages are compressed. Then the main advantage to create a readable dump is the dump is interoperable with other existing tools like Volatility Framework and the PT Finder from Andrea Schuster. And with Sandman Framework, you can also write inside the evaluation file. It means, for instance, code pages which are copied to the evaluation file can be modified. Then you can use it for malicious and for instance, if you want to defeat protection like PatchGuard or DRM, you can, because you have direct access to executables which are loaded in memory. And protection, like in PatchGuard, there is a protection which checks, there is a loop which checks every time, at every execution, some a critical table, like SSDT. It doesn't matter because the system is frozen, then you can patch it without. Without caring about it. The evaluation file is loaded by the Microsoft bootloader. And after it, it loads the operating system. Then, the main advantages of evaluation file, as I said before, contains the additional information we can retrieve in the header. For instance, processor states is solved. If you know the core processor state structure, you can retrieve information like control registers, EIP, the EDT regarding the interrupt descriptor table, and also the global descriptor table. And this last table is very useful if you want to reproduce the behavior of the segmentation. And then we can recreate function like get version, which are very useful for memory analysis. And of course, because of the control registers, we get the CR3 registers, which can be used for virtual address to physical address translation. Then, if we take a look at evaluation file, the evaluation file looks like this. And the first pages contain the header. This structure is called pure memory image inside the window symbols. This page contains the evaluation, the snapshotted memory size, and other interesting things like that. page list is an array of physical memory pages which are free. And then the third page is processor state. And then after, the next page is memory, is a table which contains every physical address where a page in the hibernation will be copied. And this table also contains a pointer to the next table, and then to the next table, and then to the next table. And after the first physical address table, we have pages which are compressed with an algorithm called Express. I'm going to talk about it after. We have a sequence of express compressed block. Then, if you want the Windows hibernation file, either is documented in the Microsoft debugging symbols. The 4 bytes are the signature. If the 4 bytes are equal to #IBR, this means this file is going to be resumed. If it's wake or if it contains a null byte, the Microsoft bootloader will ignore it, then the hibernation file won't be loaded. And then we have the coprocessor state structure. This structure is very well known from people who are used to debug. As I said, this structure contains every register. Because during the hibernation process, the Microsoft kernel call a function called carry substate for hibernate, and these functions save every register. Then, for instance, the EIP saved is the EIP from the NTOS kernel, and then we can use this EIP to retrieve the kernel in the physical memory dump directly. That can be very, very useful to do some check regarding the exported functions and something like that. We also have segment register which are saved, and because we have segment registers on GDT, we can reproduce the segmentation behavior. And then we have CR0 and CR3, which are very useful to know if physical address extension are active, or things like pages and every information which are saved in the CR0 register. Then the we have the table which contains a physical address where page uncompressed pages will be saved. Express block. The algorithm used in the hibernation file is was undocumented until some months ago because of the Microsoft interoperability initiative. This algorithm is very special because unlike MSZIP, it uses a 64 kilobit chunk. Then the express algorithm compression. This algorithm has been implemented by Microsoft Exchange team. This algorithm is also used in other stuff like the LDAP protocol. We can also see this algorithm in Windows CE and also in the Windows Imaging format. As I said, it is an algorithm, compression algorithm was undocumented until February 2008. But beta version of Sandman supported it before. The express algorithm is LZ77 algorithm, compression algorithm, and it also uses another encoding system called Direct2, which is used to encode bit position inside the bit field to save some to be more efficient in his compression process. There is also an interesting note concerning the Windows hibernation file. In Windows 2000, there is a in fact, in the memory table, which contains where our physical page will be copied, there is also a field called checksum to verify if compressed uncompressed pages checksum is equal to this table. Into Windows 2008, this field is used, but in the next version of Windows, this checksum is always set to zero, and when the checksum is set to zero, the bootloader will ignore the checksum. Then this field is very useless. checksum is computed via TCP XM function. Everything is page linked with a 4 kilobyte page without reproducing advanced behavior like segmentation to recreate a function like getVersion. We can also do some OS fingerprinting because of the variations of the Windows hibernation file, which is slightly different from an operating system to another. After being resumed, the hibernation file isn't wiped. Only the first page, which contains the header, is erased with null byte. This means even if we want to proceed to a memory analysis, we can still do it, because we still have access to uncompressed pages on the memory table. Then, as I said, the Sandman framework aims to provide a read-and-write access to the hibernation file for memory analysis, and also to use it and to do some offensive attack, which can be very useful if you want to do some penetration testing. Then, defensive use of the hibernation file. If a rootkit doesn't want to be saved inside the hibernation file, because it doesn't want to be detected during the memory analysis, it doesn't really matter, because when you will resume the system, the rootkit will be won't be resumed. This means the rootkit kill itself, then it become useless. Also, an interesting note regarding SMM rootkit. Jerry Spack gave a talk about it yesterday. they said, we have a SMM rootkit, you cannot access to it, blah, 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 blah. It means even Windows kernel cannot access to it. Then, if you want to Hibernate your system, Windows won't be able to copy the SMRunt inside the hibernation file. Then, during the resume, the rootkit will be inactivated because the BIOS will erase again the SMRun. If Windows kernel cannot access to it, the rootkit won't be copied inside the hibernation file, then it will be automatically unactivated. Then we cannot analyze it, but we can kill it. regarding more commonly rootkits, which are used to access to the system service dispatch table, to the IDT on the GDT, we can also write something to check it, because we can read, as I said, we can retrieve the kernel image base, then we can access to the exported symbol, then we can access to the SSDT. Then we can reproduce the behavior of existing tools like system virginity verifier. It's very useful if you want to check if your Hibernated system is infected by your malware or not. As I said, we can also access to imported address table on the exported address table. We can also imagine another process to check the beginning of each function to check if there is no inline patching. Yeah, we can imagine a lot of possibility of to detect malware. That's why your memory analysis is very powerful. You have a memory snapshot, then you can analyze it and check everything. Live memory analysis is growing of interest. There are several tools regarding memory analysis. Every tool works directly on memory snapshot generated by a third-party tool. As I said, Windows Hibernation file is very powerful because additional information like the processor states are saved. And moreover, it's also, as I said, it's also generated directly by Microsoft. Even if Hibernation file contains additional information, we can still generate a classical memory dump and use this additional information like CR3 and then extract information from the file with a tool like Volatility, which support we can put the CR3 as argument to get information quicker. This is a tool I've written to analyze the hibernation file. This tool will read the hibernation file and uncompress every pages, and then we can directly access to saved pages through the tree. Then we are going to open Windows Vista hibernation file 1 gigabyte. It takes it's a little bit long. I've written this application in .NET that isn't really optimized to do a Qt analysis. I'm wondering why I've written this application in .NET is very long. That's really, really, really long. I also provide, inside the framework, sample tool. For instance, the EventFlow, which reads the Evenation file and converts it to a readable memory dump. As I said, because of the additional information, we can reproduce system behavior, like segmentation and paging. For instance, the getVersion function. If you take a look at the getVersion function, you can see the function is very small, but it's very complex to recreate its behavior. At the first line, you can see it uses segmentFS, and then it reads a DWORD, which is the address of the TEB, and then you get PEB access, and after then you can rebuild the Windows version. Then it means we have to reproduce the segmentation process, and also we have to convert two addresses from virtual to physical. Then, regarding the Evenation file, it becomes this. You have to acquire the segment register FS, and then you use it as index for the GDT, and from the GDT, now you have access to the NT underscore TIB structure, and then you have to convert this address from virtual to physical, and after then we have the cell field which point to itself. And after, we read the structure again to get the pointer to the process environment block. You convert the virtual address to the physical address to compress it. And then you have access to the three following DWORDs, which contains the Windows version. Yeah, it works. As I said, with these tools, we can directly see which are the physical address which contains compressed pages, and it's easy to work inside it. As we can see, the first page is copied, is an executable because we can easily recognize the MZ header. We can see segment, the section header. And here are all copied pages. It's more interesting to reproduce an advanced analysis. Then I wrote a tool called Kernel Analyze, which reproduces the behavior or tool like PageGuard. The current version of Kernel Analyze dumps the EDT, the GDT, SSDT, the import address table, export address table, also hardware abstraction layer dispatch table and its private table, and also retrieve the GUID of the symbols. Then we can proceed to an advanced analysis. Here is a flowchart which explains how kernel analyze works. We firstly retrieve the NTOS kernel, an EIP inside the NTOS kernel executable. Then, now we have an address inside the NTOS kernel. We convert this address to physical pages, and we scan for the kernel header. And then, when we have retrieved it, we can now access to the EIT, and especially to the export address table. Then we can retrieve some interesting symbols, like, yes. Interesting functions on the variable, like the SSDT, and especially the PS initial system process, which is a process of the current process. And as I said, now we have the GUID of symbols. We can imagine way to load the symbols, and then we can also have access to unexported symbols, and we can proceed to a more advanced analysis. Actually, most of tools like the Joanna Rytowska tool called System Virginity Verifier only check the SSDT and the things which are exported. But we never heard about unexported symbols. There are a lot of functions which are unexported, which are very interesting. And we can also get access to a structure, like a process, which is very different from an operating system to another, can be retrieved, and we can use it to do advanced analysis. Here is a screenshot of kernel analyze. I'm going to show. Then I'm going to load the Windows Vista Hibernation file. I'm going to dump exported the symbols on the HL private dispatch table. Then, for instance, I've just dumped the SSDT, and we can also check if the entry belongs to the kernel or not. That's useful to get a quick look at it. We can also read the hardware abstraction layer dispatch table, which contains also a lot of very interesting function like shall examine MBR. And also the GUID. Then, as I said, we can also use the hibernation file to offensive uses. For instance, we can retrieve a function like the MSVP password validate from the MSV1 underscore 0 DLL. This function is unexported. Then it's, it can be very useful to use Microsoft debugging symbols. Because of this function is not exported, we can retrieve it easily because of the symbols. I'm going to bypass the login prompt password with the hibernation files. No. The target is Windows XP. Then, as you can see, it requires a password to log as an administrator. My keyboard doesn't work. What? Oh. The then as you can see, it requires a password to log in. Then I'm going to Hibernate the machine. Hibernate. I'm going to retrieve the hibernation file. And running the exploit. My exploit doesn't work. It only happened in live demo. Sorry, I cannot provide a demo for this. Then the main ID of the hibernation file is you can create a readable memory dump. You can then retrieve information from the memory dump with tool like volatility. You can modify it and directly analyze it with tool like kernel analyze. In some framework, you have several functions like hiberopen, function to create a physical memory dump, to read the header, the processor state, to work inside the physical address table, and to patch some pages. How to prevent from attack like hibernation file. The only solution to this problem is full disk encryption. But it requires TPM. But the TrueCrypt team is in touch with Microsoft to find a solution. As we can see on the TrueCrypt website, They have contacted the Windows Client Operating System Division, and they said Microsoft do not provide functions for handling hibernation, then that's very difficult for a developer of encryption software like TrueCrypt to first the encryption of the hibernation file. Then, as the TrueCrypt team say, there is no disk encryption software except Microsoft BitLocker to guarantee that the hibernation files will be always be encrypted. And as they said, that's very difficult for them, and they are in process with Microsoft to provide this feature. Then, in conclusion, the hibernation file analysis is very efficient because it doesn't require some it doesn't require specific hardware like, as we know, FireWare dumping. And you don't have to use some cheat like leaking nitrogen to extract memory. And you don't have to use external tools which are not provided by Microsoft. For instance, if you want to create a memory dump on the Windows Server 2008 64 bits, it requires to have a signed driver and a lot of things like that. Then the hibernation way is very efficient to do this kind of thing. Because of memory analysis, it is fine, has a very high potential. For instance, for rootkits on malware detection, like we quickly say we saw with Canal Analyze, and we can still proceed to a live memory forensic. As I said, this feature is also implemented is in a non-Microsoft system. Then the, not Microsoft flow, that's more likely like a design mistake, and we can see this behavior on the other system like Micro S X. Unlike Microsoft, Linux systems provide an option to encrypt your hibernation dump. Then, if you have a question. Thanks.
I assume the process of taking a hibernation actually changes the system. I'm sure that the plug and play drivers probably get power management notifications prior to the hibernation, so they can, you know, do what they have to do with the hardware device.
You mean put the hibernation file on an external drive? No.
I mean when you actually take the hibernation, when you tell the system to hibernate.
Yeah.
That probably changes the system because all the drivers have to be notified. Isn't that correct? So you're essentially tampering with the evidence in the process of taking the hibernation. Is that not so?
To occur the hibernation file? I'm not sure I understand your question, sorry.
When you tell the system to hibernate,
yes.
I imagine the system makes power management notifications to all the drivers. And so the drivers have to preserve their state as necessary.
Oh.
And so it would seem like in the process of taking the hibernation, you're changing the state of the system. For example, you could have a rootkit that was in some driver stack, and so the rootkit would receive that power management notification, and so the rootkit could take actions to remove itself from RAM, for example.
To impish to hibernate.
Mm-hmm.
then yes, but if a rootkit does that, it will be detected because the user will detect an anomaly.
No, I don't understand what you're saying.
You mean if a rootkit intercepts ACPI?
If a rootkit intercepted a plug and play, a power management IRP that was initiated by the hibernation process, then the rootkit could remove itself from RAM before it was recorded into the hibernation file.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
If the system is passing information, the drivers should be notified of that so they can take the measures. If it's a rootkit that is capable of functioning in the driver space, capable of detecting that it will pass into hibernation and take the measures that go with it.
Yes, but if a rootkit does that, what can it do? It can unpitch the hibernation, right? But if the rootkit impish to the system to hibernate, the user will see that that's anomal, because in the past the user will say, "Hey, before I can hibernate my system without any problem, what's going on?" Then the rootkit will be detected. The user will be aware there is something wrong with the system. Did I answer to your question?
Any other question?
Sorry, I just wanted to quickly add that when you take a memory image, like under normal circumstances, you're obviously changing the system while you're doing it. It's just how much you're changing it, and obviously you try and minimize that when you're taking it, but even using other methods, you're always going to change the image because it takes you a finite amount of time to dump out 4 gigabytes of RAM or whatever. So, yes, you know, the rootkit can be detected. If it removes itself from the image, yeah, you won't find it, but it won't be able to resume then once you resume, so it will be gone. So, there's always a risk, and we need to kind of qualify how much of the system is changed and, you know, compare the different techniques.
I was going to ask if you can replay a hibernation so that the system resumes to the same state multiple times, but then I realized that the first time you did that, the page file would change. So then I thought, if you restore both the page file and the hibernation file, could you resume to the same state multiple times?
Yes, you can.
Is it possible to get the hibernation file on an external piece of hardware?
Autoriser quoi?
Like for forensics?
To tell to your system to hibernate and save the hibernation file to an external drive?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, there is a feature to select the destination path of the hibernation.
Okay, but it must be local to the system. It can't be like a network share.
I don't think so. You can only access to a physical device, as far as I know.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
So, for the highest.